Raila kila time akisimama lazima usikie democracy, hata kama haiko. Unaona, this guy is obsessed with democracy because that is his ideology. But I challenge Zakaya to tell us what is his ideology. Hata kama ni yo paying taxes, well, lazima tulipe taxes, but how is he package his ideology? Is he a socialist? Is he a capitalist? You know, is he a conservative? Is he a progressive? When you know where a leader stands, like now Magufuli is a pro-poor leader. Hata ujiundie jina yako, kama hiyo kizungu mingi ya utaki, jiambie tu, mimi ni kiongozi wa maskini. We'll take that as your ideology.
I think hata sema tu mimi ni Mkristo. Ekonene. Episode 289, tukisema like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend to tell a friend, sindio?
Yeah.
Na leo tuko na wakili. Na huu wakili tushamtaja mara kadhaa kwa hii podcast. Na niko show ile picha tumeshare na wewe na ile unaona ni tofauti. Yeah, tuko na wakili Levi Mnyeri. Na Levi, of course, tunamjua because after the 2022 elections, he released that infamous statement. Ile hata ni kukuote jo. Ulisema, I concede defeat in the Mkurweini parliamentary race. The intellectual margin between the electorate and myself was too wide to enable the meeting of minds. Good. Kome jama hati yosiku.
lazima after election watu waambiwe maneno kidogo.
Yeah.
Wakikaa chini, you also think, because ordinarily what happens is you know, people need to be accountable.
Yes,
after elections, the electorate will, you know, turn their fingers to everyone. Wewe tumekuchagua, sijui umeshapotea. Wewe IBC, sijui ulituibia kura. They never sit down themselves and also think about the decisions they made and the consequences that they have in their own lives.
Okay.
So it was to trigger some thought. Among you know, the electorate.
Yes. And did you expect this, like, nini yako kutembea vile litembea? Because ili samba hiyo time.
Of course, I had something of that kind in my mind. Ingekuja strong sana. Unaona, nili neutralize kidogo. Mtu asiseme nimedis watu sana. Unatumia language kwa soft kidogo.
Hii ni soft kweli.
Actually, they're still yet to come into terms. Waliambiwa nini?
Actually, some still. And you know, the margin, when you're talking about a margin, I've not stated clearly who is on top and who is down. Wananchi wako juu, mimi nilikuwa chini kidogo. So inafaa tukutane in between. In the
so you clearly stated. I don't think kuna msali doubt. Nini. So political ambitions, because when did you uligraduate lini? Mama knew itaga nini ya law?
What happens is I graduated in 2015,
okay,
Kenyatta University School of Law.
Yes.
Did one or two things, then joined Kenya School of Law in 2017.
Okay.
My pupillage 2018, I was admitted to the bar, sasa kama wakili, in
2019. Yes. Sure. Yes, so 3 years, alafu ka decide to venture into politics, why?
Apo, some of this thing has been for us, it's an ambition that we've nurtured for a long time.
Okay.
So the challenge, you know, when you start some, like myself, I do a lot of philanthropy.
Yes.
So when you start interacting with people kwa ground, unaanza kuona shida ni mingi. Because Mokoroine is predominantly a coffee zone.
Yes.
And coffee has had a lot of challenges of late in terms of pricing. Kianza kuitwa michango kama tatu kwa wiki,
and
you're not even a politician, then you start identifying a serious problem in your society. So you have to rise up and start coming up with you know, blueprints vile unaweza saidia watu. So when I realized I can crack the coffee code, then there was no other choice than to venture into politics, because that's where you make policy.
Yes. Because I think sometimes we forget that. And then of course, so you ran on which party independently?
I was in a party called Republican Liberty Party.
Okay.
RLP. Ilikuwa farasi.
Yeah.
Hiyo ni chama which resonates with my ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, it is a chama ilianza Kibera sometime back.
Oh, okay.
So ni chama ya maskini.
Mm-hmm.
Its policy, so its philosophy is more sociology, you know, social reforms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So niliingia hapo nikasema let me you know take a chama that resonates with my policy, my ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Nione kama vitu zitasonga mbele.
Okay, okay.
Of course I forgot that but I was in I started in UDA kidogo.
Oh,
of course that was the wave.
Yeah.
Sijui nini ilifanyika huko chenga moja mbili, there are no UDA nominations.
Oh, okay.
So ikabidi tujipange. Mm-hmm. So you essentially revert back to your previous chama before this monster called the UDA came to the picture.
Yeah, oh, okay, okay, okay. Alafu, saa majuzi nimecheki, you are the person who defeated you. Alikuwa nasema, tunafaa kumake circumcision mandatory in Kenya. Alafu, nika, ukamuliza, is it circumcision prizes or coffee prizes that are troubling Mukurwe ine farmers?
Very, very interesting. Kagusha is my friend. And, yeah. He's actually my colleague. He's a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
I think my junior by a few years.
Mm.
He must have studied something before coming to study law.
Yeah.
And you keep wondering. First, a basic reading of the Constitution tells you that circumcision cannot be mandatory.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a very private thing. You can't force it into people. You know, how do you even enforce it? Kwani utakuona toa tu matoja ukiangalia kama circumcise or not.
Yeah.
So that is the first thing that shocked me.
Mm.
As a lawyer, you have to identify what can be made mandatory and what cannot.
Yeah, yeah.
But the most important thing is, as a leader, you know, he's a very good mobilizer. I must credit him for that.
Okay, okay.
The way he ran his campaigns is something you can admire.
Mm.
He was on the ground always, clearly disseminating his manifesto. Mm, so I kept asking myself, this guy nimemwona tulikuwa tunapitana hata kwa campaign tukigoteana.
Mm.
Ajaiongea story ya circumcision.
Yeah,
kwa anaongea maneno ya barabara, coffee.
Mm.
Then all of a sudden, you know, after elections when now people have to start implementing what they promise.
Yes.
Then you emerge with a very strange thing called circumcision.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in our region is not an issue really.
Yeah, yeah.
People
yeah.
ordinarily go through circumcision.
Mm.
So you wonder, now where are priorities, Maze? If, you know, the accomplishment of a leader is tested by what you promised and what you delivered.
Mm. Mm.
So kama uliongelea barabara, tena unaingia circumcision, someone start asking himself, now what are you delivering?
Yeah.
Imaginations or what you promised to the people. That's what shocked me.
Okay, okay. Mm. Maybe nile susema galiangalia electorate akasema they are becoming dickheads.
You need to cut loose ends.
Yeah.
You know, the side shows. Kabisa.
Alafu, majuzi pia kulikuwa na hii story ile ulikoment juu yake. Na story ilikuwa juu ya when the first lady said anataka makarao ombewe kabla waende US.
Mm.
So, your story unaichukuaje? Like, first of all, as a lawyer, can we force a Kenyan cop to go to Haiti? Akisema, Mr. Kikwenda. Like, I'm a Kenya police. Tuweza kuforce kwenda?
Now, if I start from a legal perspective, I'm familiar with the case. You remember kulikuwa case in High Court?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The court decided that as it was then, you know, constituted, it was an illegal and unconstitutional process.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about different gava ya Kenya, gava ya Haiti, gava ya US, the constitution inapeana mandate ya police to be within the country.
Yes.
The army is outside the country.
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard of foreign deployment. Ni army, unasikia ni ya Kenya wamepelekwa either Somalia, the common one, wamepelekwa Sierra Leone.
Mm.
That is ordinary.
Mm.
But here kuchukua makarao wase when their major role is actually to maintain internal law and order.
Yeah.
And then unawapeleka to a country that is a war zone.
Mm.
It's a problem in the first place. So what the High Court advised them,
ikawambia,
among other things, you ensure that there is a bilateral treaty between yourselves and Haiti on that issue.
Oh, okay, okay.
So they immediately called the Haiti president, akakuja Kenya, wakisign huko kumbe barbecue huko ameshukua airport. But actually, do you know why that guy is called barbecue?
No.
Because of he's notorious for cannibalism.
Yeah,
kishika maenemi wake anawachoma, anawa barbecue. Yani a barbecue wase, akikata hizo manyama, akikula. There are even videos of him eating people.
Yeah.
So you can imagine taking kopo wa Kenya, msi anasimama Thika Road, moja mbili, kichoka na kunywa kasoda na rudi.
Yeah.
Then you take him to a country that is lawless. It's a neighbor to US. US wamekata kupeleka their army or cops there.
Yeah.
The guns that those people are using are American guns.
Mm.
Sophisticated. See, kama G3 na AK-47.
Yeah.
So it is a legal challenge, but the most annoying thing is essentially being illogical. And I remember there's a US senator who was testifying in Senate recently. A former ambassador to in the Senate hearings in the US. I think he said it clearly that Kenya are just there for money.
Yeah.
Because there are billions. I remember there was a first promise of 14 billion. I think it was already sent. So you sacrifice lives of people because of money, pumping some money in the economy, which you don't even know where it will go. So it is that problematic. And from a police perspective, there is an issue of course, poverty. Now, I think the inducement of cops, ni gava kuambia ukiingia hapa weka uliko nakula salary ya 60 Gs.
Yeah.
Tanza kukupea 200 Gs.
Oh, yeah.
And now the worst thing about it, you know, throughout I was thinking no Kenyan has gone there. Then recently I learned there are already Kenyans who are there and they have died already. So that's a war zone. One of the core functions of a government is to protect the lives of its citizens. So it's very reckless for a gava kuachilia tu ase waende. You know, you are throwing them into fire. And then the next thing, now we're having burials in every other village in Kenya.
Yeah.
That's something that should not happen. It has no legal basis. Wachore your story. Countries inajiweza zipeleke watu wao huko. And the most important thing, you know, hizi magangs za huko see rebels ni wananchi
boy
unafanya job hapo Haiti Port au Prince unapika mayai ukichoka unaingia kwa gang jioni so it's like going to fight citizens of a country. How do you even determine whether you've won that war? So it is that bad, but it's something we should just keep off. Haisaidii Kenya kitu yote.
Basa kitu nashindwa kama karao tuseme you try to tell me you'll pay me 200,000 shillings. But I'm sure uya ndi waga na kuorganize ovyo zile angesema he's sure you're going as a cop and coming back as a cops.
So
if I decide I'm not going, what happens? Like under the Kenyan constitution, can you force me as a cop, Kenyan cop, to go to Haiti if I say no?
Actually, strictly speaking, you know, cops operate under command.
Yeah.
And the moment you become a cop, it's like a deployment baragoi.
Yeah. Oh.
Ukiambiwa uende baragoi, hauwezi kata.
But you're in Kenya. That's Kenya. Within borders of Kenya.
So
outside?
Outside, the same principle applies.
Oh, okay.
The same principle applies unless the government itself, out of its own masses, ipeane a chance for someone to accept to go or not. But if you are ordered, like if everyone refuses to go, they'll order people to go. And if you don't, you fail, that is a very serious offense. It borders desertion, you know, insubordination, and all those disciplined forces offenses. You can be fired. If it's in the army, it's actually worse because you can be imprisoned. But police, I think the worst that can happen to you is being fired. So unless the government introduces that aspect of choice under police standing orders, the moment they have said deployment must happen there, then the same police standing orders apply even there. Because hata ukienda huko, wezi ambiwa utakuwa na choice ati ya kujificha. Unaambiwa leo enda kwa hiyo kona ya Haiti na ufanye job yako vizuri huko. Huko barbecue ame chill. Anasema nataka kutest nyama ya Kenya vizuri. It's crazy. Is that crazy?
But what an okay disclaimer. Kuna a certain article that I saw, I don't know if you saw it, where they were saying that it's the Western media pushing the cannibal narrative. That your video, ya msaki kulani haikuwa Haiti. So I don't know how true that is. I'm just putting it out there. I'm on a story.
Actually, something that has been there for a long time. Mina kumbuka nilianza kuchop stories. Kitambo, now your place, it's a very interesting place. There is a religion called, I think, Voodoo.
Yes, you know.
Better.
Yeah.
A funny religion with some funny ritual.
Basically, yeah.
So these stories as Janza Juzi, stories za nini za cannibalism hizo my area ni story nimezisikia for a while.
Might be
exaggerated, some video might be fake, but there are stories that have been there. So
they're not
good stories. We don't really talk about that, but the aspect of the violence that is there, the way people are dying there, I think is the most disturbing thing. You know, when you die, whether you are killed by a gun, you are dead.
You're dead.
That is what concerns us more, whether the stories of cannibalism are true or not.
Kurudi ni ngumu sana.
It's tough.
Alafu sasa vile nani anaitwa nani, vile first lady ameamua kufuatilia kinjeketi ile. Cause a history ya kuombea watu na ile story ya the Majimaji rebellion, it's basically the same thing.
The same thing. You are going to, you know, to a death trap, but someone wants to inspire you using religious. You know, time Kinjengetile, yon delikuwa religion in your time.
So
now it's Christianity. I think despite all that sideshows, the basic thing that we should acknowledge is that we have a government in power. This government has been elected.
Yes.
The government needs to make choices, legal choices. In that process, you don't try to cover up with issues of prayers. And no, prayers are very sensitive issues in Kenya. Majority are Christians. People believe prayers work. But that's not the function of the government. Article 8 of the Constitution talks about there is no state religion. The government should operate outside religion, within the law. You know, and within common sense. Kama place ni dangerous, hata those cops wajue mapema. Kama ni kuandika will, naandika will. Naambia wife hapa, mambo ikiumana huko, huu jamaa ni mzee mfiti, anaweza kuchunga chunga akaangalia maneno. Watoi pia huyu mzee anaweza kuwa buda mfiti. But now to start using religion to cover up, and it's a trend unfortunately that has been here
for
a
while. Yes.
Something that is illegal because you don't want people to talk a lot about it. You know, you cover it up with a cloak of religion and
then watu
wanacheza chini na maneno inaendelea. So wacha wajiombe, ni vizuri, it's good to pray, but prayer should not now become a factor when you are shaping national policies and deciding such important things.
Alafu huko feel like this was too harsh. We'll say the collective intelligence of the Negro should be subject of an intense scientific research. Because wacha nitete the Negro first.
Kama Afrika.
Shida yetu muona gani, like by the time we got to get independence, the weapons were so sophisticated that we have to accept our leadership. Where like if we were to look at the Vikings, for example, by the time the king was there, weapons ilikuwa swords. That means ukianza ujinga, tunaweza patana kwa battlefield tumalizane. US wakifightia freedom ilikuwa zile siku za ni musket. Zile you have to unaigonga alafu una shoot.
Unagonga guns.
Sisi ni automatic weapons. So whatever leadership we get, we'll have to accept because we can't, there's no resistance. Otherwise, I don't feel Africa ingekuwa hivi if ingekuwa swords bado, because ingekuwa hakuna vile unaishi kila siku vizuri na sisi tunasafa with all storm.
Our Africa, that is an entire topic. I can speak about that topic for a whole day, but the thing that people should agree now, you know, as citizens of this country and Africans, and in Inyoro ndiosema, we are in Africa and Africa is our business.
Yes, yes.
There are some things we do in Africa that you wonder, has common sense gone for holiday or what is wrong with us? And we can't blame everything on colonialism.
Yes, yes, I
know. We are now past 60 years after the British, you know, left us alone to govern ourselves. We should have developed a level of you know, intelligence in our decisions. Watch as it manifest. People make wrong decisions at the ballot. Leaders wanna come. You know, you unakula doya hosi.
Yeah.
penye 100,000 people are relying on our hospital. You come and eat patients, you know, cancer patients money. You know, by virtue of that, thousands of people are going to die. Your pesa unachukua na side chick mnaenda kula happy party. While your own citizens, some of them are actually your relatives and friends,
are dying,
who rely on you know, government services and such drugs, remain behind and die because of your corruption and theft. It becomes a very big problem. Most of the problems in Africa are not poverty related, not all of them. When we sit down and we start thinking seriously and making decisions to kitumia kichwa, you know, from civil servants to private service to citizens wenyewe, to leaders, before you make a decision, think. Kaa chini tu, jite mkutano kidogo. Ulize, mimi niko na kula do ya road. Hii road nataka kudishi do. After that, the whole population, 500 or 1,000 people, rely on this road to take their produce to the farm. How is it going to impact their lives? We start thinking that, hata hizi corruption zingine za ufala zita reduce. Wasawa taanza kufanya vitu in what we call public interest. That's very important. So, as I told you, apart from the other things we do for a living, I'm also an activist.
Yes, yes.
And when I get any chance to post anything on Twitter or to comment, I must do it in a way that provokes thought.
Yeah, okay. Ukisikia
hiyo collective intelligence, kama Mwafrika unakaa chini unajiuliza kwani mimi ni fala ama shida, and then unakuwa mwerevu kidogo. Next time ukifanya kitu na acha nifikirie kama Mwafrika nisichome. So people need to be triggered to think about some of these things, and that's how you cause social change in a community.
Because I think your kitu umesema ya roads interesting. There's something I always say that I think what corrupt leaders forget is the more that you empower the population, the richer you'll become.
Sure.
Because you end up giving them spending power.
Yes.
So example, mupatiana ni ya Moi. You are the president for 24 years. Baringo, people are still poor kabisa. What if you'd empowered Baringo in such a way that people there, like watu wako rich, they have spending power, you'd end up being richer. Because so ukifungua hosi, they'll be able to afford the hospital. Ukifanya hivi,
unafanya. They wako na purchasing power.
That's
the basis of capitalism. That's how capitalism operates. So it is in your best interest that your neighbor is rich.
Yeah.
Hata kuibia, atacheza chini, you know, he'll need to reach a level that he must become a thief.
Yeah.
Ukiamua kuuza kakitu hapo inje, ye ndiye atanunua. Mtoi wako akuwa mkubwa, mtoi wake ndiye atamari. You know, so people should, it's another problem that you have in Africa. You know, I call it avarice, extreme greed. You know, you can't be rich alone. That's why you find, like I was seeing some photos of South Sudan, someone commenting that it's the only country in the world where the cars are more beautiful than the neighborhood. Now you can't be rich alone. Imagine you are the only person who owns a car in the whole of Nairobi. It comes with its own challenges. There'll be nobody who will open a petrol station for you to fill your car. So that notion of Africans that, you know, there's always competition in wealth and you must be at the top and nobody should come up. Msea ki ukiwa juu ya mti one msea anapanda unamsukuma anguke. It is one of the collective intelligence challenges I'm referring to. People should start appreciating that as a community you should grow together and advance together, even for private interest.
Because I've never looked at it from your point here. Hatuta kuja kukuibia usiku. It reminds me the infamous, you remember the Uganda guy who was saying, in Uganda, the rich are not asleep because they are worried about the poor.
It's
the
true.
Poor are not asleep because they are hungry.
Yeah, it becomes a chain. I remember that video.
True. So kuna kwa nanini. But still, wacha tutoke Kenya kidogo. We go to Senegal. How did you see the Senegal elections?
And that's something that I woke up today morning to read about. It's another very curious scenario. You know, I tell people that, and I had a serious argument on that thing, that the British are actually the best colonizers. If you can see how the British colonists handle their their colonies compared to France, it is a very, there's a very big difference on the two colonizers. So the people have monopolized neocolonialism at the French. There is no question about it. Some of these Francophone countries, they don't even have central banks. You know, they have no control of their currency. The same is still done from Paris. So I had the young guy, relatively young. Of course, in African standards, it's young. But outside Africa, is you know, he's a person at his middle age. The gentleman, I've followed up some of his videos and literature. What interests me is that, you know, Senegal gained its independence, I think, in 1960, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, 3 years before Sisi, yes.
3 years before Sisi. It's so curious that if you hear his speech now, you can imagine you are in 1959.
Yeah.
Like, this is a country that is young and it's just almost gaining independence. Well, we are now, you know, in the 21st century.
Yes.
And other dynamics have come in.
So
I heard something that he is even planning to close an embassy. I don't know how true that is, French embassy. Whether true or not, he needs to expand his mind broader than France.
Yes.
Ama, he'll get a rude shock. Like, even now, if you talk about France, with all its faults, you can't do away with France.
They are
an integral part of Senegalese economy. You'll find so many Senegalese live in France who come back. You know, the economy is run from to and fro France, you know, Paris to Senegal and back. So the guy should also, I think, shed off some revolutionary politics. It's a very good and stylish way, especially of winning votes.
Yeah.
But when it comes to management of a country, he should look at cooperation and respect with France rather than hostility and isolation. Because if France now pulls out entirely from the Senegalese economy, the economy will suffer for another 1 or 2 decades before they come back to their feet. And where do you go? You know, Senegal is there, France is there. You can leave France, then fall into Chinese colonialism or American colonialism. So the problem of African countries are very, it's a very sensitive and complex arithmetic. Leaders have to get it right. Someone like Kibaki, you just decide to shut, you know, shut up on issues of neocolonial masters and work whoever comes on the table to work with you. So let him sober up. He appears as a very brilliant man. Another challenge he'll face is the Sonko guy. You know, when a leader is given something, presumably on a silver platter, you know, the Sonko guy was actually the one who's supposed to be a president.
I did like a whole video on this. I was telling people, now I was joking, because I'm going to say, Sonko, there is the Kenyan one, and then there is that one. But it was the same thing. Like, if I'm supposed to be president, and then I let you have it, first of all, will I want you to have it for 10 years? You see, that's the
exactly.
So I expect and then, because he's supposed to allow a vice president, so will Sonko be ready to be his vice president? So there's a lot of
so he should not celebrate too much. He should sober up now, shed off revolutionary rhetorics, and now focus on a solid agenda for that country.
I
tell people, leadership is mostly about goodwill. I see he's not a wealthy person. He does not appear to get excited by wealth. I saw his wealth declaration.
Niliona,
a man of modest means. If he has the goodwill, proper advice, and rationality, then Senegal will grow. And then this Sonko guy also to appreciate that out of bad luck, he did not manage to scoop their seat. But he can move forward. So it, I think for me, it's a specimen. Wacha tuone vile maneno itaenda huko. And I appreciate the people of Senegal for that bold move. Mambo ya bibi wawili sasa hapo. Mwenyewe ajipange pange.
Yenyewe, wakiwa wawili, watu wawili ni first lady.
Anaweza kupa ka pressure pia usahau maneno ya watu kidogo. So mmoja watulie kidogo, but it's a great thing and we look forward to see how the country will be run.
And that election, what does it say about the Kenyan voter? Like when you saw you like 10 days and you win an election.
First, it can say a lot about let me not say the Kenyan voter, but you know, a Senegalese human being vis-a-vis a Kenyan human being. You know, I wonder how you whether someone can allow you, knowing that you are being released from prison, to become a committee. So you call committee, mse acheki, you are the one who is popular to win. Ata acha prezi, ata MCA. Neza atafuta prison wada huko committee ya kufanyia ile kitu. So it shows the integrity of some of these countries that there are countries that we really look down upon as Kenyans because our economy is bigger. But in terms of democracy, they appear to be ahead of us. Because, you know, their politics is a freelance. Any person can come. You can come from your village, you know, share your agenda with the people, and the people elect you. In Kenya, you can imagine now, try to fathom the expenditure of that guy. It might actually be less than an MP in Langata spends to win an MP seat. So someone can campaign with limited resources. The people hear him. They realize he has a vision. They vote for him, and the incumbent surrenders and says, well, come and take over the reins of government and run a country. I wish you the best. That's a democracy that sounds maturer than Kenya. To just hear a petition, a baba, just hear maneno mingi. You know, I actually keep asking myself whether in Kenya there'll be a day when elections will happen without an election petition. You know, like 202. Just come out and say, I concede, I've lost this election, and you give someone an opportunity to
I think run. I always think that that will happen the day we are able to announce results as fast as them. When Okunga 202, we knew, I don't know if that time maybe you are too young, but we knew tulijua tukienda kulala.
Na 207.
Like, but sa 207, Okunga tuko tunajua, but sasa ikakamika, ikachenjiwa. So, I feel like if we go back to that, because if you are counting 700 votes, it's not going to take 3 days. Alafu yo mambo ati, oh, sijua kuna network. There's network everywhere.
Ukitaka, people use M-Pesa everywhere.
M-Pesa everywhere. So
that's a good one. If they rush up the even announcement of results, and as you say, some of these things people know. There's no magic that happens. From your own intel, you can know some candidates going to win. So let's hope Kenya will also get to that level where someone like, I don't know which person I can pick. You know, a small politician comes up and one like Babu Owino with all his scandals, he can come up, decide to vie for presidency campaign, and he wins out of nowhere without being ranked as a tier one politician, you know. That's a good thing.
What's a tuone. Like, but now, kitu wagafani ni, sometimes it feels like the higher you go, the cooler it becomes in funny ways. Because umecheck US. US right now, tuki digress kidogo, umecheck Trump is selling $60 Bibles and is saying it's time to make America pray again.
He's praying on that.
$60.
Imagine.
Alafu ati Bible yake inakuja na the Bill of Rights. It comes like with part of the American Constitution. So according to yeye, America has lost its way because it's not praying. Na kwa hiyo nimetoka ku question prayer. So si first lady akiona pia anaanza ku print Bible.
Exactly. Sama? Actually what it shows is that religion and of course the founding fathers of US were deeply religious people. Even the independence, even the constitution refers to God like ours. So it shows that some of these problems we're facing as Kenya are not unique to Kenya. But even in developed countries like the US, someone can also still misuse the Jesus. Bible to get political mileage. Ni kama umeappoint my chief campaign, umeamua Jesus pia kwa campaign. Umetuma Jesus wewe enda enda central. Ni campaign hiyo huko ukitumia Bible. It's abuse of religion really. But in politics it's allowed, it's a game. Anyway, whoever can manipulate the people with rhetorics prevails. So that's why the comment we started with the famous concession, you called it infamous, is actually famous. Actually, not only in Kenya, it gained an international audience then. So the problem starts with the people. Trump can try to manipulate you with the Bible, but if the people know, as a voter, you know, you know, I even thought at some point if I'm running in the next election. I'll do that. You know, you imagine some things, but a vote at a undiwe. You know, the way people campaign with leaflets and stuff like that. Mm. Vote a undiwe pia yake, ambiwe unatik. Mm. If you're going to vote for someone, there's integrity tik,
yeah,
history
yeah
yake, manifesto, so that we assume voters know who they are going to vote for. Some don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So these problems are universal, and we have a long way to go before we tackle them entirely.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm. And then this has also reminded me a certain conversation we were having over the weekend. So ilikuwa mimi, Ian, and a colleague of ours called Rapture.
Mm.
And I was giving this example of, there's this accident that happened in Isili. I don't know if you heard about it, where a building ilikuwa ina constructiwa. Then someone was walking chini, mawe ikatoka juu ikampasua kichwa. He was taken to hospital, but he still didn't make it. And I remember we were talking of the fact that no one is going to be held accountable for that. And I ended up saying that I don't feel the law in Kenya works for everyone. Then kulikuwa mtu kwa comment who was losing his mind. It's like, the law works, but do you think people go to prison? I'm like, just people going to prison does not mean the system works for everyone. So
sure,
una feel aje jeyo, does the system, as a lawyer now, does
to answer the Williams law, Amedai, that is very sad. If someone could come and tell me he knows that person and he has the letters of administration to represent his estate,
I
could take that matter pro bono. I do a lot of pro bono. Of course, someone has to be accountable.
Yes, yes, yes.
There are laws that govern construction, and how construction you know, sites should be run. If I get that person and I'm properly instructed, I'll file a case for him and sue whoever needs to be sued.
Okay, okay.
But you can see where the challenge begins. Justice is a very sensitive affair, because lawyers have put a price tag on it. Justice is not for free ordinarily.
Yeah, yeah.
You need a lawyer, and being in a capitalistic setting, that lawyer needs to be paid. So upon your challenge in Anzia, that person does not have, you know, you go to other countries, every family has a family doctor, family lawyer. But in Kenya, the services of a lawyer are far beyond affordability for a common mwananchi.
Yes.
So that person actually will be shocked, even the family does not know they are supposed to be, you know, compensated.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that they don't know, yoni accident imefanyika, they bury that person and life continues.
Tulimpenda, but Mungu
alimpenda zaidi. Na hata akafanya makosa, angekuwa kama angeamka hii asubuhi akae na bibi yake nyumbani, asiende kutembea, angekufa. So some of those talk. So this ignorance is one thing, poverty, and you know, failure to afford services, leave alone even representation, even advice from a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's another challenge. But the truth be said, we have made a lot of effort. Even in Africa, we are among the leading in terms of streamlining our justice system. But we still have a long way to go. And other factors like poverty. So long as there is poverty and people cannot afford lawyers, lawyers are the ones who argue cases. You stand at a detriment when it comes to seeking justice.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay,
so it's
okay.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
But kama kuna mse anajua huyo mzae, anitafute. Can make an effort to ensure that he gets justice.
I think I saw that story. Kani liona kwa X, si waneza kutag tu.
Love
to fuatilia story. It was such a sad story. Like, paka we started talking about how Kenya imefika level kiona building ikinhinu natembea huko.
Hata mimi
you're afraid.
Just fear.
Yeah, just fear.
And, you know, I've looked up once or twice and you see a debris coming. Two particles tuna anguka kutoka huko juu. It is a very sad state of, and it returns to government agencies, something like NCA. NCA, you've ever walked in a hood upate ma ex zimeekwa nao ni waswa NCA kidogo naona ex imedisappear. Mambo inaendelea. So they are very, we have very good laws, I know of regulations, very strict regulations. Before you enter a construction site, you must wear a helmet, but now when it comes to enforcement of those regulations, that's where you get it wrong. With the more or less fatal consequences.
Okay. Alafu, still talking of justice, hii case ya Ahmed Nasir versus the Supreme Court, does the case itself make sense from a legal point? And the reason why I'm asking is, ye mwenye alishasema tu ni corrupt. So kama nimesema nyinyi ni corrupt, neza arguage that I want to come and argue cases before you people. And because if I say you are corrupt, it means I don't respect you. Ama?
The law does not work that way because, okay. You know, there are several aspects here. Mm-hmm. First, Kwame Nasir is a lawyer, very good lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
But beyond being a lawyer, he's also, I'll call him, I don't know if he calls himself that way, but he's also a social activist.
Yeah.
But he has done so much for the judiciary. Kuna time, I'm told, before he joined the legal profession, it was very corrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
Apo Matuotu, radical surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very corrupt system. Ahmed Nasir fought, you know, with all those rhetorics. Your time akuku wa Twitter, and broadcast his stories, trying to even investigate and find corrupt judges. So he has done so much, and as a lawyer, we really appreciate him.
Yeah.
So what he was talking about, and Twitter generally, the space in social media.
Yeah.
In law is protected under Article 33, freedom of speech.
Yes.
Freedom of speech inaku allow you talk about issues of public interest.
Yeah.
I critique him myself because when you accuse someone of corruption, it can actually be defamation.
Yes.
You must give evidence on that.
Mm.
But that does not in any way deny him audience.
Mm.
He can be speaking that as a rhetoric.
Mm.
He can be speaking that as a matter of expression.
Mm, mm.
But when he goes to that court as an advocate, he has the right to be heard by virtue that he practices law. So what the Supreme Court did, in my view, is very disturbing. Because, you know, people of that class of individuals with their reputation, you know, studious people, people have read the law very well, outstanding ladies and gentlemen of the bench. And this is what I was telling you before, you should be able to accept criticism.
Yeah.
You know, at that level, they talk about government officials, like there's a case I saw recently, a Supreme Court of the US determination, that even on Twitter, when you are a public figure, a politician elected, you cannot block people. When you are a private citizen, you can block people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you've been elected, you have a higher duty. If I were to advise the Supreme Court judges, by virtue of their office, wakuwe na shockwaves pia. Mtu akiku, you know, nima this. Actually, don't take those accusations very seriously. Nima this tu na rhetorics kidogo za mawakili. Advocates are very complicated people.
Yeah.
He has never tendered evidence. If he could have tendered evidence, they could have been taken to the Judicial Service Commission.
Huko na hiyo nini? Yake? Yeah, but you saw the document.
Yes, I saw it.
Ila konsuma, this judge received this, this judge received this.
It's rhetorics.
Yeah, okay.
Judge A. Judge B.
Sioni ile akifika mbele ya court sasa atawataja ama?
Hapana, hakuna mali anaenda kuwataja. You know, when you talk about evidence, and I know he has done that before, when you talk about evidence of corruption, ni kama unakumbuka Sonko na Shitembwe.
Yeah.
Tafuta ma recording that scandal. I know Shitembwe was removed from the bench.
Yeah.
So that's evidence. Kuja usiwe siku, that's an accusation. Kusama judge alichukua, leta evidence, either video.
Okay.
Ulete notes, bank notes zenye zilitumika ku corrupt messages, you know, such evidence. So is yake ni rhetorics, but for me as a free speech advocate, that rhetoric is very important. No, pia waogope. Sasa ina unakaa ukiwa rada. After mtu amekudis, amekuaccuse vitu kama hizo, at the back of your mind, you cannot even attempt to do it.
Yeah.
So people should, it's just like the president. I think the president is doing better. Before story ya heckling he come. Unadisiwa, unakuita Zakayo. Ni kama president anze kuuliza, mbona unaniita Zakayo? No, umsetu wana kudis.
Yeah.
And constitution ime kubali watu wa dis wengine, especially public figures. Una disiwa, una humble too. Anyway, if they wanted to take action, they can sue Ahmed Nasir for defamation.
Yeah.
It's a ripe, because actually Ahmed Nasir is putting their career at stake without evidence.
Yeah.
There is something called contempt proceedings. But now kuba mse kukuja kotini bana, yo si mzuri. Yeah. So acha ende huko East African Court of Justice, we see what they'll rule.
Oh, okay, okay. Because even one of the things that called me and Kapa in history are heckling the president. Do you think it's the president yuko na shida na hii ama it's the people around him who are trying. Unajua ile unatry ku please the master.
Mm.
So like because kama juzi uliona akiwa church, there's this pastor who brought it up. It was like, "Hey, najua amekuwa akikuita Zakayo," and you could see how uncomfortable the president got. So unafilaje kwa
Usashaitwa
Arap Mashamba. Unajua like he's how Arap Mashamba I think is worse than Zakayo, ama? Thinking about it.
Maybe mwenyewe ndiye anaweza tuambia. But these all these zote ni mwacha watu. People let people enjoy the freedom space. So I remember one of the cases, extreme cases I read some time back. It must be around 2009 South Africa.
Mm.
South Africa in terms of constitutional rights, Africa ndio ame advance sana.
Yeah.
Someone drew, you remember Zuma?
Yeah.
You know Zuma, at some point you remember he had actually court cases of rape.
Yeah.
And then corruption.
Mm.
So interestingly it was some white wing media, I think a newspaper.
Mm.
They drew a cartoon of him.
Mm.
Ametoa kladi, like literally, anachuja toja, is trying to rape Lady Justice.
Oh!
Amechuja toja, you know?
Yeah.
That is now an extreme end. Imagine msea chomwe kituka yo ya Zakayo sasa. The way it can be extreme.
Mm.
But the Constitutional Court of South Africa ruled that that one is protected under the Constitution.
Mm.
So, Zakayo azoe. Hizo maneno ya endele na job yake watu lazima wakudis hata yeye pia aneza dis watu wenge kwa yeye pia ningekuwa natupa madis zangu nikipata time but I've read a book called I think you've also read it. It was actually a set book while you were in high school. Kifo Kisimani called Kitako Ambere. It's a play. And if you can remember, there are some characters in that book. There's a king. The king was a guy called Bokono. Mutemi Bokono.
Yeah.
And then there was Mwelusi, who was the activist politician.
Mm.
Then there were some funny guys surrounding Bokono. Mm. So that story, it is not the president, the guys surrounding him. That story with you, even Moi, it was the same story. Because... I actually asked if anyone needs my legal services. Unfortunately, someone called me a little bit late. I'm told some people are charged. I've not followed up.
Mm.
But if I were to see that charge sheet as an advocate, I'll begin to see who is the complainant.
Yeah.
Nani ana complain? Because someone has a right to demand. The person who suffered most is from the president.
Nawacha kuje.
Kuja upeana ushahidi useme ni, kama ulikuwa unaongea because naweza kuwa tulisimama jua ikakuwa kali tukamua kuheckle jua na president alikuwa anapita hapo so come and shed light and then you are cross examined and watu wajue nini liendelea so the president has a right to has a powers actually kuambia watu wacheni ufala kama it's true there are some people want to impress him acheni hizo ufala you focus on doing your job.
Yeah.
I mean even God is equal. That ancestors. Ndio anatukana ancestor vibaya sana. So nobody is immune from constitutional rights to express yourself.
Talking of cartoonists, unajua umenifanya mpaka nikakumbuka. I feel like nani amekuja ka relax kidogo. There's a time where Gado was really pushing the limits. Like
Gado remember.
Used to live on the edge.
I remember one of the cartoon that attracted a lot of attention. It was Waiguru catwalking while Uhuru amemshikia dress. I wonder, let me not think something bad happened, but he should come back.
He's still doing them. So mechikio, like amefanya Raila. He's still wearing the car. Ile kilemba.
Yeah, exactly. He has started with that. How did it be? I think it started Weston.
Yeah, Weston.
These are my days.
Yeah, it was owned by Sing.
He's one of the most respected cartoonists in Africa.
And he's maintained with this. Because even on hata hapa where Ruto is surrounded by M-pigs, and you can still see he's wearing the Indian thing on his head.
He should step up. Some of these things have become a little bit dull. Akuje on edge bado.
It's
a very important component to a functionality of a democracy.
Yeah,
Rajua kitu happen such characters, including Ahmed Nasir, ukisha push to the limit hivo, mafans wengine wakuje nazao kidogo kidogo, nobody cares, it's like you've opened up space for other guys to play around. So we really respect and admire such people who open democratic space for the rest of the citizens to enjoy.
Alafu pia another thing that I'd seen you comment about is Magufuli. So Magufuli is someone that I've talked about hapa. Na I always give both sides of him.
Yes.
So I always say there's the one side that I admire, the side that really worked hard for Tanzania. And then there's the other side, the ugly side of where I felt like he had a very thin skin. So wanna feel nini, because you did this like dedication to him where you just saluted him.
Sure.
But now we can have that maybe conversation. Magufuli, the legacy.
If you read that, it's quite long, but you see, I'm not shy of mentioning his weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember, and it's something that is so personal to me, that time when he was at the peak of COVID, he could come up and say COVID does not exist or ignore it. And ultimately, whatever he succumbed to might have been related to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mentioned it there. I think the first thing is another problem we have in Africa, and we should take it very seriously. When someone dies, you know, I go to a lot of burials.
Yeah.
For me, the only value I can get to a burial is to learn from the life of that person.
Yeah,
of course, beyond consoling the close relatives, which is a must.
Yeah.
So people should normalize,
both sides.
Fair speech in a burial.
Yeah.
Kama msee alikuwa na ufala fulani mnasema. Kama he was good on this, you say it. I remember I watched some video of a lady in Siaya during a burial. Akasema, he made a very funny speech and some people are not amused. Sema nyinyi mnaongea maneno mingi ya mzee alikuwa mzee wangu na mimi ndo najua vitu kwa zake. Acheni apumzike, ni kitu mzuri. So people should, that dishonest, you know, you go to every burial and you think every person is a saint.
Mzashindwa, why is there a crime in this country?
Yeah, mzema mjamaa kijana alikuwa wash na tukamkataza na akakataa kusikia. So vijana wengine msiingie maneno ya wash sana. Kama even speaking about the late Brian Chira has been buried recently.
Yes, yes.
I expected a very ordinary talk like about safety to take to have a part in that burial, that my weekend my boys wakikunywa, at least when mkiwa rende, ensure your friend gets home. Kama mtu ako na gari, you can take a cab instead of driving, that we maintain safety on our roads. So let people normalize that. But coming to Magufuli specifically, the guy was a Pan-Africanist. Unless I'm wrong, that guy throughout his presidency never left Africa for an official trip.
Machapa
maraundi Congo, Kenya, Uganda. Now you wonder, honestly, some of our leaders, you go to Colombia. What is the connection between Kenya and Colombia?
Unless we are planning to start importing.
70% of trade is between Kenya and Uganda.
Maybe tuna plan kwanza ku export cocaine. Because it makes no sense.
Tunataka kupeleka polisi wetu Colombia fight the remnants of Escobar. So we should I expect Ruto has been doing a little bit better in that.
He
has made more than 10 trips to Uganda. Like, you expect the countries that you're already trading with, we have better ties with them. But kuchapa lab Colombia, unatoka Colombia sijui unaenda some funny countries you've not heard about. And then you wonder, when you come back, what really have you added value to our economy? So he was a Pan-Africanist. And now that we've talked about the situation in Senegal, you'll come to revisit it. Running a country is very hard.
Yes, yes.
And if you have a strong will, then you have also to develop some dictatorial tendencies, which I don't support, but they come automatically. Because when I jaribu kufanya job yako fiti, some wazungu hire some opposition leader, they give him millions to come and destabilize him. Unamtuma exile kidogo, ambia enda tu tulia, siya nimekufukuza sana. Tulia, wacho wananchi wanufaike, lafu tarudi uendele with your gimmicks around. But now ni time ya kazi. So these are dedicated Pan-Africanists. There are leaders who believe in Africa. Magufuli was not a Tanzanian leader.
Yeah.
There are leaders who are shaping the vision for the entire African continent.
Mm.
So he'll be remembered for that. And, you know, I tell our leaders, like even I hear debates about Nairobi and hawkers.
Yeah.
Hawkers is a menace.
Yeah.
People, every person struggles with that once, you know, in a while.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, you can't compare. Unaongelea maneno ya hawkers na mtu mwingine akuja kuongelea maneno ya kupanda maua.
Yeah.
Like, this is not Paris.
Mm.
This is Kenya. Mm. This hawker is actually feeding a whole home using money that he hawks machungwa in Tao.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you balance the chasing that hawker and planting flowers, then the other, the former automatically prevails. Mwache hapo afanye kazi, mawe utapanda after poverty has been eradicated.
Yes, yes.
So I really have respect for leaders who know that they have come to assist the poor.
Yeah.
Now they are pro-poor in their policies. Kila policy before you build the expressway, you najiuliza, how is it going to benefit a poor Kenya?
Yes, yes, yes.
Before you go and, you know, take policy in Haiti, you ask yourself, how is it going to benefit poor Kenyans?
Mm.
So it becomes an ideology that any policy of the government is streamlined towards alleviating the suffering of the poor.
Mm.
That's what Magufuli achieved, and he should be honored. He should actually be immortalized for that.
Yeah.
So it is something Nyerere had the same policy from you know, the socialist Arusha Declaration and the rest.
Mm.
And that's one thing Africa that you'll identify and you must focus on.
Yeah.
You know, you look at other countries like Magufuli had ideology. You know, a leader, you must have an ideology.
Yes, yes.
That's why you hear in US people talk about Trump being you know, extreme left or right, extreme right, this party left, progressives, conservatives, all that. But in Kenya,
Akunaga.
A leader ako tu, amekaa tu, amechill.
Niku switch tu.
Hata ujui mtu what is in his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, you must perceive life from a certain angle. Wezi kuja tu umechill, leo unaamka unatuma watu Haiti, kesho unasema hii. There's no even a yardstick for testing your success. So apart from Raila maybe I can try. I've seen in the past he has called himself a social democrat. And you know, he has talked to that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Raila kila time akisimama lazima usikie democracy. Hata kama haiko, unaona this guy is obsessed with democracy. Because that is his ideology. But I challenge Zakaya to tell us what is his ideology. Hata kama ni yo paying taxes, well, lazima tulipe taxes. But how is he packaged his ideology? Is he a socialist? Is he a capitalist? You know, is he a conservative? Is he a progressive? When you know where a leader stands, like now Magufuli is a pro-poor leader.
Yeah.
Hata ujiundie jina yako, kama iyo kizungu mingi ya utaki, jiambie tu, mi ni kiongozi wa maskini. We'll take that as your ideology.
I think hata sema tu, mi ni mkristo. That's why alileta Benny Hinn, unajua. Like Benny
That's
Hinn is...
That's very true.
Yeah.
Me, I'm a Christian leader.
Yeah. Alafu nini, kitu si kukuuliza, what do you think is going to happen to Macky Sall? Because we mwenye jiulize, umeniweka prison for a whole year, 10 days later, I'm the president-elect. After April 2nd, siwezi sema niache, Buddha, see, let's exchange. Pale niliishi pia we rudi hapo. Do you expect him to just let it go? Because I don't think Macky Sall is popular on the ground. And yeah, so una feel nini jiyo.